Om Shanti. Since Babdala's Murli of 22nd, have you been wondering how to fulfill your promise to be happy under any circumstances? Yes? And have you figured out the way? There's an interesting thing in the Gita, which is the idea of equanimity. It is said for a yogi that you remain in equanimity in the face of the pairs of opposites. So there's happiness and sorrow, victory and defeat, success and failure, all these different pairs of opposites. Now, when you're in a state of equanimity, you're also happy. So there's two different kinds of happiness. One is the happiness that is the opposite of sorrow, which is, you know, on one end of the fluctuating seesaw of feelings. And then there's another kind of happiness, which is the one that I think Baba's talking to us about. And that is that you are happy because of what you know. You are happy because of what you have. And so Baba had asked us to develop this capacity to remain happy under any circumstances, because what you know is not changed by circumstances. You are, or all BKs are, the top 0.0001% of humanity. And because your fortune has been created by the maker of fortune directly. Are you aware of that? Yes? So, now, usually people are very concerned about their future, concerned about their fortune. But it's not necessary for Brahmins to be worried about their fortune or their future, because it's already been made by the maker of fortune himself. So the word for God, Bhagwan, also is like Bhagyavan and Bhagyavidata. And you have your Bhagya. And so Bhagya is fortune. Bhagyavidata is the one who creates your fortune. And Bhagyavan is the fortunate one. So now the exercise would be to try to experience happiness knowing your fortune whilst being in circumstances that cause you to feel miserable. Can you do that? Well, this is the exercise. So now, how do you position your soul in such a way that you can actually successfully be happy while being depressed? Because that would be very convenient if you could do that, don't you think? So when you're depressed about something. And so that depressing thing that makes you depressed, in your mind, you'll think about it and you think, this is not okay, therefore pretty soon you find yourself in a depressed mentality. And that is because you've been thinking about whatever it is that is depressing. Yes or not? Yeah. Because our thoughts are very subtle and they happen very quickly. They don't take very much time to cause trouble. In fact, waste thoughts are very similar to chemical warfare. You know about chemical warfare? You probably don't, but you will. Because in different parts of the world where there are wars going on, they're starting to use chemical warfare. And so now when you breathe these poisonous chemicals, then that's the end of your breathing, and you choke. And maybe you die. So now you can think that when you are allowing a waste thought to appear in your mind, to permeate in your mind and create a gas. You know, the pure thoughts create a perfume. The waste thoughts create a poisonous gas in your mind. And so the feeling of depression is very connected with the fact that you do not realize that it's optional to think depressing thoughts. It's not required. But you think one because perhaps you didn't notice that you started thinking that way. I see. And thoughts are karmas and they have results. So the result of a depressing thought is a depressing feeling. And the result of carrying on with that is that you go into a downward spiral, and then all of a sudden when you're at the bottom of the abyss, you remember that, oh, by the way, I made a promise to stay happy. And by that time, you're pretty far down the hole. So I think the exercise is to notice very quickly if your thoughts are going off in a negative direction or a dark direction. You see, because your feelings or the state of being that you are in is produced by thoughts that you think. And because thoughts are very small and very quiet, if you're distracted by sense perceptions, you may not notice that you're starting to go along a track of dark thoughts. They could be a little dim and then gradually it gets dark, like the night comes on slowly after the twilight. And so Baba has asked us to make ourselves very aware of our fortune. Now, that means you have to write it down. Have you all got pieces of paper and pencil? If not, you can write it on your hand or write it in your heart or your mind or somewhere where it won't get lost. And just try and write down what you have gained. And I'll give you a few tips just to get you going. You know, one thing is we've all received the third eye. Have you got that? The third eye? Did you get one? Because the knowledge is called the knowledge of the third eye. So once you became Brahmins, it means you got the third eye. And the third eye is a very, very sought after achievement. And for us, we got it very easily. And Adi Jenki was reminding us a couple of days ago to make sure that you have the third eye and the third eye is open. Do not close your third eye. Actually, when you establish yourself in a state of soul consciousness, that's the same thing as opening your third eye. When you're body conscious, your third eye closes. So this is one great fortune to remember. So you can consider, you know, on one side of the paper you have the third eye, and on the other side of the paper, what is the one thing that bothers you more than anything else? Can you think of that? Could be somebody's sanskaras, or it could be some situation, or it could be bodily pain, or any kind of thing. If you can just write down on the other side of the paper, what is the thing that really bothers you? And then compare those two things. You see, because the thing that really bothers you, if you think about it and go into it and start talking about it and all that, that's going to take you on this downward spiral. And you will feel all of the emotions connected with that thing that you don't like. Because dislike is a feeling. And when you have in your intellect a approach to that thing, that you don't like it, that's a judgment, that's an evaluation, it sends a message to your mind, okay, now become miserable progressively. You see? And now, is that what you want to be doing? See, because we have to realize the subtlety of what we do. When we are body conscious, we're much more connected with sense perceptions. We're very caught up in what we see, what we hear, what's going on the outside of our bodies. And at that time, the very subtle things actually are overwhelmed by the sense perceptions. So Baba's asking us to do these exercises so that we can strengthen our ability to be aware of a truth that is greater than, more impactful than, more long-lasting than the current sense perception. Something you see, something you hear, including things that you remember. Because very often a memory will come up in your mind, and that memory will be a remembered sense perception. So it's still a sense perception, but it's one that happened some time ago, which made an imprint in your memory. That means your chit. Yeah, Baba talks about the chit. Daddy Janki often talks about the chit. So how you know that you put something on your chit is it comes into your mind from time to time, and it sets you off in a series of thoughts, or a trend or track of thoughts that produces a feeling which is not happy. So once you do that, then the exercise is, okay, now, in 1 second or less, become happy. You see, so you can't become happy when you're miserable, can you? Or can you? And the idea of this exercise is to be able to make yourself happy even when something happens which is specially designed to make you unhappy. So we have to practice this in a number of different ways. Because every so often, even now it's, you know, the middle of the morning, and during the rest of today you can observe yourself and observe the circumstances that you experience and just see what are the things that make you feel either unhappy or irritated or insulted or any of these things, passed over, left out, something like this, you see, because these things happen very quickly and you don't usually get much advance warning, and there you are, something hit your soul and pushed you into an unhappy feeling. And so the thing to do when that happens is to move yourself at very high speed. This is called fast effort maker. Move yourself at very high speed to an attitude towards that thing which makes you happy. I see. So what attitude will make you happy about the thing that makes you unhappy? So you've got on your piece of paper on one hand the third eye, on the other hand something that bothers you. Have you all got that? And now you write down what point of knowledge or what understanding, what wisdom can you apply to that circumstance which will make you happy. Like, for example, every cloud has a silver lining. That's an easy one. And then you have to get your mind to go and experience the meaning of that point which works, because if you just put it in your intellect, it won't work. It has to go into your heart, because the thing that bothered you went into your heart. And so if you try to remove it by something in your intellect, it totally miss, won't go there at all. So you have to really know something deeply, which invariably will be an attainment or an achievement. You see? And when you turn your mind to that, by putting that point from your intellect is like a bow, and the point is an arrow, and it has to strike your heart, because your heart is where you feel things. And so just having an arrow in your hand won't do, it has to actually pierce your heart. And a point that pierces the heart of your soul is really a realization. So if I say, okay, you have the third eye, but do you realize the value of the third eye, and you realize what it really is? So if you think, well, no, I don't really know what that is, then that's a sign for you to assign time to churn on it. And it's very, very useful to actually use your longer periods of meditation to churn on those things that you realize you don't really know the depth of it or the power of it. We know we get 300 points in every Murli. Have you ever counted them? There's about 300. I see. And any one of those could be the right one, which will actually strike your heart and neutralize that experience through sense perception that disturbs you. And in that way you can be happy while disturbed, which is very convenient. It's real power, because you're not saying to yourself, no, this thing is not disturbing. You're acknowledging it. You're saying, yes, this is a highly disturbing thing, but it's okay because I have the third eye so I can see through it. I'm spinning the cycle of self-realization, which means that this thing happens every 5,000 years, and I generally, every cycle, survive it just fine, so I can survive it again this time. You know, many different points of knowledge you can use to instantly neutralize the potential of that experience, so that sensorially perceived experience, so that it doesn't send you off down a track of thoughts that puts you into an unhappy state of being. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes? No? Yes? Give me some sign? All right. Okay. Now, these are a number of different exercises that you must create for yourself. It's very important for us to understand ourselves very well. And just saying to myself, okay, I'm a soul, I'm a deity soul, I'm a pure soul, I'm a happy, peaceful, loveful, blissful, powerful soul, isn't quite enough. You have to understand yourself really deeply, really totally. You have to understand where you are susceptible. Susceptible means that which aspect of yourself gets easily wounded. You know, because every person is strong in some areas and not so strong in other areas. So one of the things that Raja Yoga is for is to enable us or encourage us to look at ourselves so that we can see exactly where we are weak. And then we have to go to those weak places and see why they're weak and what we need to put there so that they're not weak anymore. Now, when a person does something negative, it's not usually that you decide, okay, well, right now I'm going to just do something negative. It's always going to be as a result of some other thing. So when you find yourself thinking it's a bad day, or I'm not interested in being happy, something like this, then you have to kind of go in there and go back and back and back along your thought track and see if you can find the first thought where you deviated from your natural state of soul consciousness. So it's a quite interesting exercise to take your thoughts and go back and back and back and see what thought produced what thought produced what thought produced what thought. Our thinking involves a lot of association. You know, you see something and it reminds you of something else, and then that reminds you of some other thing, and pretty soon you can be reminded of something that makes you unhappy. And the trigger for it would be something as simple as a glass of water sitting on, you know, a wooden table, which all of a sudden brings back those memories, you see. So these are associations. And the mind works very much by association. Because whenever we experience something that has a very strong impact on the soul, particularly an impact that is an unhappy impact, it leaves a scar of a tendency to become unhappy when anything that resembles that situation occurs at any other time, because it creates a path of association in your mind. You see? So that's why looking at our thinking, where we decide or even just become unhappy without deciding to, we have to look and see, okay, where did this start from? Why am I doing this? And part of it is really to take full responsibility for our feelings. Otherwise, sometimes we would say, well, this situation made me unhappy, or this person made me unhappy, or this inability that I have in myself makes me depressed. So we go back and we see inside, and we also have to say, I decided to feel unhappy. So why did I decide to feel unhappy? Partly because of something called justification. Oops. Sorry. Actually, very important phone call, but anyway. I'll just put it on quiet because we have to stay with each other. Obviously felt that this was an important call to take. This is from the Godlywood studio. And they want me to organize something extremely quickly. So we will do that. Take this example. Okay, suddenly and unexpectedly you're supposed to be doing a lecture, and then all of a sudden your mobile phone rings and it embarrasses you in front of, you know, some 100 people or something. But you don't have to be embarrassed, you see, because in a way, one thing that we learn by being speakers, you know, with microphones and people in front who are not talking, you know, and we have the power and everything, is that actually it's just like a conversation with two or three people. It's not that different. And this is something I learned from Pardadi. Pardadi, you remember Dadi Nirmal Shanta, who very recently left the body. And the wonder of us having the opportunity to spend time with some of the ancestor souls is that in their each little action that they do, everything is teaching us something. And Pardadi had this extraordinary capacity, which I think is maybe one of those attainments that we need to absorb into ourselves that helps us to keep happy. And she never, you know, went into a certain mode in order to speak publicly. There was no difference between when she was speaking to two people or 2,000. She would keep this completely natural way of being. And she would just, you know, move from moment to moment, whatever was happening, and would respond to it in a very beautiful way, in a very natural way, without being flustered by anything. Even if it was a negative thing, she would take it, turn it, and it would be a good thing. So one of the things that Baba had done for us in the Murli is he told us the key, how to remain constantly happy under any circumstances. And he said, what you do is parivartan. You know this word parivartan? If not, please write it down, learn it, parivartan. It's a very, very good word. And it means you just turn it around, you change it, you transform it. And because we're all actors, and because this is a drama, and any circumstance that comes along is like a scene in the drama. So the scene comes, and you're the actor, and the director, which is of course Baba, says, okay, here's a scene, you're an actor, now. How do you play this scene? And of course he wants us to play the scene in such a way that we are victorious. So victorious means that how you handle it results in you being happy, and that it works to your benefit, to your advantage. So that means in order to do a parivartan, a transformation, first you have to see what the thing is, then you have to see where it came from, and then you have to see where it's going or where it wants to go, and then you have to see where you want it to go. So this is connected with this thing called being master of the three aspects of time. Because every event has a past, present and a future. There's a trend, it's like a line going somewhere. And when it comes and meets you, you make it go in a different direction because you have power. Or you can say, because you can. You see? So an event comes and its aim is to put you in some sort of, say, shock. Ooh, what do I do now? You know. And so when you're in that shock, then you can't think straight. So it's very important for us to get a lot of practice with things that shock us a little bit, you know, and cause us to make a mistake, right? And so when you practice, then you become more capable of managing the thing that wants you to go where it wants to go, and instead you take it where you want it to go. So you're at that time you're being assertive. You're asserting your capacity in the moment to make the drama go the way you want it to go. And if you aren't able to do that, because you judge that its power to go its way is much greater than your power to make it go any other way, at that moment, instantly, then you say, drama. You see, it had to go that way. But when you say drama, okay, this is the force of drama, and you have to step aside and say, okay, drama, you go this way, but you yourself do not get rolled over by it, run over by it, or whatever. You put yourself in order quickly and say, okay, that was drama, very good. Next. Because if we sit in that previous second where that shock was, and we start absorbing all the shock waves, and we start making excuses as to why we didn't do it some other way, and we're missing the subsequent seconds, and then we aren't able to remain happy. So it's a very, very good practice, a little exercise, for us to be able to see the thing what it is, understand instantly if I have to do something or it's drama, and then let go instantly, and again be with the next second. So letting go is a very important capacity, or one of the arts. You know, Daddy Jenki was talking about the art of seeing people's virtues yesterday, and there are lots of arts, and one of them is the art of letting go, second by second. One day she was telling me how important it is to really do the practice of second by second letting go of that scene, because, you know, we've got some video cameras here, and these video cameras, which are shooting this scene, they have 24 frames per second. 24 little photographs. You see. So every second is, you know, like 24 little frames long. And if you remain in the previous second, then the next second with its 24 frames, you're not going to look very good. You see. So we have to be able to let go of that second at that second and shift to the next second in a second. And of course, this practice that Baba gives us is for us to be able to manage some of the things that are going to be happening in the immediate future. Baba told us, look, circumstances are getting very delicate. Right? And if you ever look at the news, you will probably want to turn it off, because it's not very encouraging. But it's real, you know. And so what the world is telling us is simplify. Do not spread yourself thin. Simplify your life. As Baba has very often said to us, be economical. Well, we're in an economic meltdown, so if we're economical, that's good. Any time anyone can lose what they have in the bank, for example, if the bank goes under, so then at that time, how do you feel? You get the information in 1 second. Okay, whatever thousands of dollars or pounds or euros you had in the bank, well, it's not there anymore. Tough, I see. And then you'll say, what do I do now? This is not fair, you see. So this is a natural reaction. This is not fair. And then we are looking for justice and stuff like this. And so when we experience these normal, conventional responses to shocking information, we haven't used our powers. We haven't used the knowledge. So Baba gives us again and again and again, within the Brahman family, or within the Lokic family, or within the Lokic world, or within your mind or your heart, all these different areas where some sudden and unexpected disturbance will happen, so that we can get practice to position ourselves very quickly in an attitude whereby we can handle that thing. You see? So we have to use our eight powers. We have to be able to tolerate. We have to be able to face. We have to be able to accommodate. We have to be able to adjust. And sometimes we have to be able to pack up. Sometimes we have to be able to just see, okay, well, this is what it is. And so now, what will I do? So we have to think very analytically and very spiritually, without attachment, connect to Baba, and he will give you the right thought. Is that right? But we can get the right thought from Baba if we regularly churn and if we regularly have yoga. You see? So the churning and the yoga go together. When you're churning the murli, you're moving this material around in your mind and intellect, which is deeply, deeply true, and which comes out of the mind of God into your mind. So it's like a food for your mind that enables your mind to deal in the best possible way with anything that comes in through your sense perceptions, which is what happens during the day. You know, you get news, you see things, you hear things, and it impacts the soul. And this impact is strong, and it pushes you immediately into an experience, an emotion, a negative emotion, some sort of unhappiness. And we have to practice to be able to be happy before it happens, during the time it's happening, as it continues to happen, and when it's not happening anymore. Can you do that? So this is why it's quite a good idea to practice with things that you know that happen to you from time to time, or even regularly, that disturb you. Because then you can know, okay, I am susceptible in this area. And so I have to shore up myself and strengthen myself. And really, when Baba says we should keep a chart of our yoga, it's because if we don't keep a chart of our yoga, then our yoga will not be very good for very long. So keeping a chart of our yoga actually helps us to maintain, because yoga is very subtle. It doesn't mean keep a chart of how much time you sit down trying to have yoga. Yeah, you can do that. But what you really want to do is try to quantify, what time do I actually have yoga? What time do I actually have connection with Baba? Because that's when you take power. And when you're trying to connect with Baba, that's good, but you're not taking power. And you're actually using a lot of energy to connect with Baba. You need power to get power. But because yoga is so subtle, sometimes you don't really do what you need to do in order to get yoga to happen. And so the preparation for yoga is to keep on churning the knowledge. And the morning murli, as I said earlier, gives you 300 points. And you can take a few of those, 2 or 3, 4 or 5, that you're going to develop. Because by churning, you arrive at insights. And these insights are connected with your attainments. And these attainments are part of your fortune. And the fortune of these attainments is what you can apply to intercept the shock of some negative experience which wants you to go into an unhappy state, and you intercept it, and it is there, this bad experience is there, but you, as a soul, you are with your understanding, you are with your insight, rather than with the event that wants to make you unhappy. And because you're with the insight, you're with the attainment, then you experience the fruit of that attainment, which is the feeling of happiness, even if you're in an unhappy circumstance. So you can imagine the circumstances as a kind of plastic bowl, and you are just in the middle of that plastic bowl, not on the bottom of it, above it. You know, so all these circumstances are in this bowl, and you are not part of that bowl. You are you. You see? This idea of drama, when Baba uses the word drama, he generally is not talking about theatrical drama, but he's talking about film. Nowadays we do video, but even if you do video, if you do video editing, you'll still see your frames and your soundtrack, and you can decide how it's going to be. You can change the colours, you can chop bits off that you don't want, you can add bits in that you'd like to have, you know. So if you can do that with electronics, I don't know why you can't do it in your mind, you see. And this is Baba's approach, says, well, here's all the information, now do it, you see. But to do it, we have to be subtle. And I think that one of the things that helps in that is faith. In earlier years, Baba had talked to us about four types of faith. You may remember faith in self, faith in Baba, faith in drama, and faith in the family. And people would say, well, yeah, faith in self, more or less, yeah. Faith in Baba, yes, definitely. Faith in drama, well, mostly. Faith in the family, no, that's too much. You see? But actually, Baba said, no. This is what you have to have. Faith in all these four areas. And so when you observe your faith or try to calculate what is the quality and intensity and strength of your faith in these four areas, this will also help you to identify some attainments. And of course, the one that people have most easily is faith in Baba. Well, Baba sometimes says you have love for Baba. So if you have love for Baba, then you have to do what he says, because if you love somebody, then you do what they say. So then your love for Baba is on one side of the paper, and your emotions that want to do something other than what he says is on the other side of the paper. And then you see, well, what are you going to do? So if you have love for Baba, you'll do what he says in spite of emotions that would like to have you go the other way, you see. So this is another way of assuring your happiness independently of situations inside your being that want you to be unhappy. So Baba is getting us more and more and more to go to the inside world, the inner world of our mind, our feelings, our heart, our sensitivities, and of course any type of negativity or negative feeling has been identified as a sign of impurity. So if I, the soul, feel bad about something that seems to be bad, what it means is there's an impurity in me that could caused that to happen rather than the event. The event didn't cause it to happen. The event is there, neutral. And how I respond to it tells me about my level of purity. Because when the soul is absolutely pure, then nothing bothers you. How can it bother you? You see, the soul is absolutely pure, then you feel, okay, it is drama, it is what it is, everything is proper, and there we are. You see, now I think these Godlywood studios are calling me again. They don't realize what I'm doing here. But this is somebody else. So, there you go. So you see, we have to be seeing what Raj Yoga is telling us about. To go moment. Okay, I'm a pure, peaceful, powerful, loving, blissful soul. An event happens in drama. Am I a detached observer? The event that comes has to come more strongly than your ability to be a detached observer. Because if it's not more strong, then there's no merit in being a detached observer anyway. You see what I'm saying? So the things are happening, all this film is going on, and you know, part of your knowledge is that this drama is an identically repeating drama. And so if we have a thought, why is this happening? We have immediate answer. It's happening because it's happening. So that's full stop. Nothing more to say about it. That's why it's happening. It's happening because it's happening. And you say, well, it shouldn't be happening. Well, actually, it is happening. So whether it should or shouldn't is neither here nor there. It is happening. So get used to it. Oh, but I don't like it. Well, you can transform it then into something that you do like. Well, I can't. What do you mean you can't? You have been given everything. So you see, there's these several people inside your head which talk to you. You have the body conscious self who wants to go off into unhappiness. You have the intellect filled with knowledge who gives you all the answers provided you have been churning. And eventually, the little fellow who wants to be unhappy runs out of arguments. And you say, okay, very nice, we are happy anyway. But you're not forcing yourself. You see, if you force yourself, it's unnatural. And then it's not real. And so you can pretend to yourself and everybody else that you're happy, but the vibration of happiness will be missing. And so nobody's fooled by that. Because it's the vibration that carries the message of whether something's real or not. I see. So that means if we want to transform an unhappy situation into a happy situation, we have to be very well prepared. We have to have a lot of information. We have to have churned the Murli. And if you notice, every single day, somehow or the other, the Murli will provide you with exactly what you need that day. But if you miss the Murli, or you don't listen to the Murli, or you're busy doing something else, even while sitting in the Murli, you're distracted, then you miss that important information that you need for what's going to be happening next in the day. Because the confluence age is a very special kind of time. It's not like normal time. The confluence age, each second is equal to a year. So they're very valuable, and a lot of things happen in those seconds. So we have to be very conscious in the seconds as they pass. We have to be very present in the now. And especially when we're listening to the Murli, this is what we need, this is our equipment that we require to handle the coming day. That's why the Murali is in the morning. You see, if you get the Murali in the evening, then the day's already finished. And you say, oh, if only I'd known that. So he gives it to us in the morning before anything happens. And we churn it. And as the more we're really aware of the message or the soul of the Murali, the more we're able to enjoy handling the different sudden and unexpected situations that want to push us into unhappiness. Now, one of the things that Baba has told us is if there is something that you really don't want and you can't handle, then give it to Baba. So this is another thing we have to become practiced in. And so there will be lots of things that are happening which are unhandleable. Have you got any of those? Things that happen that you can't handle? So these are very useful because, you know, these exercises cannot be just theoretical. They have to be real. So whenever something comes along that you really can't handle, then instantly you have to give it to Baba. So, do you know how to do that? Because these things that happen to us are very sticky, lots of glue. They come into us and you can't shake them off. So we have to develop this ability to have kind of Teflon heart, so it doesn't stick. And a little bouncy, so you can bounce it right away back to Baba, you see. So this faith in Baba also includes a faith that he's there, he's with you, and you can give him whatever you can't handle, and he will take it, you see. Now then the question arises, do you believe that? Do you believe that? There are many things that happen, oh, I cannot handle this, you see. And as soon as you say, I cannot handle this, it's as if you have absorbed it into yourself to make yourself more unhappy. Here is this thing, I cannot handle it, here it is, I cannot handle it. It's more and more, goes in and in and in. And then it's difficult to pull it out. So something that you cannot handle, you know, always be aware that he's either on your right-hand side or on your left-hand side or behind you, could be a little above you. You know, this is why the devotees think God is omnipresent, because he's omnipresent for the BKs, but not for the other people. Anyway, he's always with us. Is that right? Or do you think he's only with some BKs and not with me? Do you think? Is he with you? Put your hand up. He's not with many people. No, he said, I'm always with you. Did he do that? So do you believe him or not? Or is it just because you can't feel it, it means he's not there? You see, just because you can't see a soul, does it mean it's not there? It's there, right? You know you have a soul. You know you are a soul. So in the same way, the presence of Baba is very subtle, almost completely intangible. But you know he's there. So that means something comes, you just give it. You don't even let it go in. Just in, it comes, you give it. Or sometimes, you know, in BK, we receive a lot of gifts. And there is a system in our practice, I don't know if you know about this, but whenever you receive a gift, you give it to the sister in charge or something like that. And then they'll decide whether they'll give it to you or... Because, you know, everything comes from Baba. So if you receive a gift from here and there, that means you create a karmic account with those people that you receive gifts from, and then you have to give them a gift, and then the whole thing becomes give and take and give and take, and you get enmeshed. And so Baba had introduced this system of every time you receive something, you give to Baba. Or give to Baba's instrument. And then, you know, if you want it, you take it from Baba, not from that person. So your karma is with that person. Your karma is with Baba, not with that person. It's a method. It's a very good method. And so now we are trying to finish off all of our karma with other people and establish a karma teet stage. And we want to create our fortune by having our karma as much as possible with Baba only. Is that right? Or not? Yes? You want to be karma teet or you want to make your own life as difficult as possible? Because we can do that. It's quite easy to make your life difficult by missing these little things that Baba suggests to us to do. So once you give physical things that you get to Baba, what it does is it gives you a special power. It's like a karmic effect of saying, okay, Baba, I will eat only with you, I will receive only from you, I will live only with you, I will sleep with you, I will walk with you, all this. So, if somebody wants to give you something that you can't handle, if you have always given everything to Baba, then it's very easy for you to give that thing to Baba as well, because you're practiced in it. But if you take everything what you want from this person or that person, then it's very difficult to not take the things you don't want. Because the philosophy of karma is like that. I see. So once you know the subtleties of the philosophy of karma, and you say, okay, everything I get goes to Baba, and then everything I receive will come from Baba. So when something comes along which is really that you can't handle, there will be nothing to stop you giving it to Baba. Otherwise, if you just take from people here and there, then that will prevent you from actually giving to Baba the things that you really don't want. So this is useful to know. Did you know this before? It's a top secret, you know, we have some top secret information because people say, why should I do that? That's no good. I should be able to have my own give and take with everybody. And that's true, but there's a method to keep yourself so powerful that nobody is able to give you anything physically or subtly or emotionally that you don't want. Because it'll go right to Baba. And that's a very, very useful thing to know and to practice, you see. Because you keep yourself safe. It's almost like an insurance policy that will enable you to be free from the things that you can't handle. So something you can't handle, okay, Baba, you handle it. You see. And so more and more you make your karma with Baba, less and less with different people. So when you make your karma with different people, you create these little spider wires. You know spider wires? They're very strong. So very invisible strings that you can use to hang pictures or hang decorations from the ceiling. They're very strong, but you can't see it. In the same way, we create these karmic links with each other. And because we can't see them, we think they're not there, but they are there. And you find out about them at the time when you don't want them. That's when they make themselves felt. So the thing that I was telling you initially about the Gita talking about the yogi being free from success and failure, or in a state of equanimity between success and failure, happiness and sorrow. This state of equanimity is really what we want to go for, and it is really a very good, positive state to be in. It's not that somewhere in between happiness and sorrow, there is a neutral place of nothingness. It's not like that. There is this happiness and sorrow that is a seesaw of being up and down. And then when you're in the middle of that, and you're not bothered by the up and down, this is a jumping off point from where you go up above and come close to yourself, close to Baba, Dharma, and then having faith in all the protagonists of the drama, all the actors in this 3D movie, everybody's doing what's predestined anyway. You see? So when you have a thought, well, I don't like the way this person is acting, that means you forgot that they have no choice. And if you say, why is this person behaving this way? The answer is because that's how they behave. And it's like that. And you get used to it. And instead of trying to make them some other way, which bothers you, position yourself in such a way that you are genuinely happy, regardless of how they're acting. Because you stay with yourself and you use all the different aspects of knowledge to keep yourself in this equipoise so that you can just shift into happiness, which is a genuine happiness, not laughing all over the place and trying to prove that you're happy, but you feel fine inside. You understand. I think probably the greatest form of happiness is when you understand something that you didn't understand before. Is that right? This is my analysis of happiness. When you really understand something you didn't understand before, everything starts falling into place and you're completely okay with it. It is fine like that. And another really beautiful form of happiness that you can arrive at when you churn on yourself is you realize that there is no one you would rather be than yourself. That the best thing of all is that I am me. And this also moves you away from what's happening into your being, because your being is independent from what's happening. Sense perceptions pull you into what's happening, but when you realize how wonderful it is that you are you, that you are the most fortunate one, you are Baba's child, you are selected, you have got all the information that people have been looking for centuries. You are in the most beautiful family, you have a beautiful future fortune, you are an 84 birth soul, there is many, many things, many blessings that you have that bring you in contact with yourself. Now sometimes people find being with themselves scary. Right? Because there's just me and me alone. Right? And so it's very scary to realize that there's just me and me alone. And so this is also something that happens in the drama every so often. You find yourself just by yourself, without any support, any encouragement, any reference, anywhere. You're just yourself. And this is a very important experience to have. It doesn't happen very often, but whenever it does, I find that most people avoid it and they immediately try and connect themselves with someone or something to be dependent on. But this moment of absolute solitude is really very precious. So to be able to feel that it is all right for me to be completely by myself. I am okay being by myself. And then when you're stable in that stage of being alone with yourself, then very easily you can be with Baba. And this practice is also very helpful to become independent of sense perceptions, which always trying to pull you into this one said this and that one did that and I am less than this one or greater than that one. We come into all these comparisons and then we are again tied in those things. And when you're tied, you're in bondage, and a person in bondage cannot be happy. This is why for many people the most important value is the value of freedom. How many of you feel that the greatest value is freedom? You see, this is a very, very powerful value. But the price of that value is to be willing to be alone. Are you willing to pay that price? Yes, only one. Okay. So being alone means you keep yourself so available for Baba that he comes, but he won't come until you are fully alone. You see? And you just see the drama, and the drama is whatever it is. When you're fully alone, you have taken a great step of personal empowerment to make yourself completely alone. Otherwise, everybody is somebody's something, or I am the. You know, I was looking at people's bio datas. You know, we have all these programs with VIPs, and this one is the chairperson, this one is the executive director, this is the head of, this is the something, you know. Whereas we are a soul. I am a soul. Not the, you see. Anything the is kind of temporary and untrue. Other than, you know, they say the God, you know, and we don't say the God, we just say God. And I am me, I'm not the me, I'm just me. I'm a soul, a special soul, you know. So going away from the to the you know, and just being, okay, it is very, very good to be me. And then all the things, whatever are going on, they are not me. When I'm caught in to it, then they become mixed into me, and the me is inseparable from the drama. But when you just say, yes, I am me, and all these things are exactly what they should be, and then you follow Baba's directions, then you actually claim the freedom. So we have two kinds of freedom. One is mukti, going to the soul world and not coming back for a long time, which is not very interesting because you miss the golden age, which is very interesting. But the other is jivan mukti, liberation in life. And I think that the confluence age is the time when we have all the information we need and all the circumstances to actually claim our freedom in life and enjoy that freedom. And it is this that makes us really be happy, knowing who I am, what I am, what's going on. And this is a good stage of mastery. So I will stop there. We'll have a few minutes meditation and practice to be happy under the most inauspicious circumstances, and you will get power. Om Shanti.